Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be back with you. It's a Tuesday edition of the show, and we have two guests set to join us today. We're going to talk more basketball as we continue to wrap up the season. Just two more interviews to go, counting today, before we close it out. Coach Vando of the USU Eastern Eagles will join us today. And also, we'll be joined by Steve Bordstein, a great friend of mine of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. We have to start talking baseball. We are less than a month away from opening day. Opening day, April 3rd. You have the World Baseball Classic, spring training, so a lot happening in the world of baseball. I'm not a big World Baseball Classic guy, though. I've got to be honest. I think it takes a little bit away from spring training, and I think it messes with the continuity of the team at this particular stage. I'm not a big fan of it, but it is something to talk about, to say the least, so we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's dive into the national sports headlines, and if you missed it last night, it's no shock, but I feel really bad for Andrew Bogut, former Utah Ute center. You think, okay, Bogut has a chance once again to win an NBA championship. He's in a great position, signs with the Cleveland Cavaliers after things just did not work out well for him in Dallas. He played 58 seconds for the Cleveland Cavaliers last night, and he's out for probably the season. X-rays at the arena revealed a fracture to his tibia, and we don't know what the time frame is for him right now. The injury occurred when Bogut was closing out on Okoro White. His left leg collided with White's left knee with about 11:38 remaining in the second quarter, and LeBron James said he was standing right there and he heard the crack, he heard the snap, so we knew instantly it was bad. Kyrie Irving talked about it last night. He said he believes that the Cavs still have enough to compete for a championship without Bogut, and I agree. The big piece that Cleveland added was Deron Williams. That was the guy that they need. Now, Deron Williams is out of shape. He looks like he's been eating a lot lately, and so he's going to have to get back in shape. If he can avoid injury, I think the Cavaliers are still in a good spot. But nonetheless, I mean, wow, terrible news for Andrew Bogut. We take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight. Only three games. Portland on the road to take on Oklahoma City. Start time of that contest is set for 6 p.m. The Lakers will travel to Dallas. They meet the Mavericks tonight at 6:30. And then Washington is on the road to take on Phoenix at 7. So a very short slate in the NBA. One game is on national TV. That's Portland at Oklahoma City on NBA TV. The Utah Jazz, well, they keep finding ways to get wins. They're going to take tonight off. They return to the court tomorrow to take on the Houston Rockets. Big win for the Jazz last night as they topped the Pelicans, once again defeating that duo that everybody was really looking at, saying, okay, maybe these guys could make a push for the playoffs, in DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis, not translating into wins. Jazz grab an 88-83 victory last night. They are now 40-24, 12.5 back of Golden State, so you're pretty much locked in that 4-5 spot right now. Four games up on Memphis, who is sitting in sixth place. The Jazz four games back of Houston. So again, you're really looking at that 4-5 slot, which means probably a first-round matchup with the Clippers as we get down to the final stretch. The Jazz have played 64 games, so 18 more to go. They got to go 10-8 to get to 50 wins. 10-8. That's been my watch all year long. Can the Jazz get to 50 wins? I thought at the beginning of the season they would get there. Now they got to go 10-8. Some news coming out of the NFL, and as the NFL free agency is about to hit the frenzy, I mean, as of right now, the tampering rules have been lifted. You can come to an agreement with the team. You cannot sign until Thursday. The Rams have a bad situation in the secondary. Trumaine Johnson, who has been fantastic when he's been out on the field, was tagged once again with a franchise tag just a couple of days ago. We talked about this on the show. And already the Rams are looking to potentially move him. So this franchise tag pays him $16.7 million. That's more than any other NFL quarterback. And I'll tell you, Tremaine Johnson is not the best defensive back in the NFL. He's the first cornerback since Charles Woodson back in 2004 and 2005 to be franchised in back-to-back years. And really, the Rams just could not allow him to leave and not get anything for him. But now you understand why they are looking at trade offers. The Rams do not have a first-round pick. They're paying a premium to a player who wasn't even elite at his position, and they really have a lot of holes. So trading Johnson could bring the Rams a much-needed high-round draft pick, give the new regime some flexibility to address more needs, but the market may be a little bit limited to that price. So things are starting to get interesting in the NFL. We talked a little bit about the combine and the upcoming draft yesterday, but you're starting to see some players' names pop up that are going to become cap casualties, or maybe teams are looking to move on. If the Rams were to get rid of Johnson, it's an interesting scenario because they let Janoris Jenkins go last season, and now they could be letting go of their other featured defensive back, who, again, he's not elite, but when he plays, he's pretty good. That's a quick rundown of what is happening in the national scene. Again, very quiet day. That's all right. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up. We're going to go over the local sports scene. Coach Vando is going to join us, some baseball talk, and we'll give you a NASCAR update as we gear up for the big race in Vegas this weekend. It's all straight ahead on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We talked some baseball here on the Coach's Corner yesterday, gearing up for the high school season, which is officially underway. Today on the Coach's Corner, we're going to go back to talk USU Eastern basketball as we continue to put the final touches on the 2016-2017 season. The USU Eastern men's squad, they had their struggles at the early part of the season, starting off just 1-7, but they managed to win 6 out of 7 games in conference play. Did score a victory in the quarterfinals over Colorado before falling to Snow College in the semifinals. Joining us in the studio right now to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Vando of the USU Eastern men's squad. Coach, always appreciate you coming down here.
Well, Jordan, thank you so much. Thanks for having me one more time.
Yeah, I can't believe it's over. Went by in a hurry, didn't it?
Man, like I said last time, times fly. So I can't believe, too, like, you know, this second semester was like a blink, and then we are right here.
Yeah, it definitely went by in a hurry, Coach. We'll start by talking about Thursday night. You guys knocked off Colorado Northwestern. That's a big win. I mean, it's the first time this team has won a tournament game, conference tournament game, in a couple of seasons, and the kids were obviously really excited. A little beat up, but a big second half propelled the team past Colorado.
Yes, you know, like you said, you know, was a great game. We had 6, you know, healthy kids, but you know, we knew that, you know, CNCC didn't want to, you know, just handle the game to us. You know, they battled, they played a really good game in the first half. Second half, you know, they had, you know, their runs, but, you know, like our bench, you know, came, you know, in help, you know, us, like really, really well. Like Nico Rojas, you know, he did great. Christopas Totoris, you know, he did great. You know, the kids battled, like we really wanted, you know, beat them. You know, it's not easy. Like we beat them 4 times. That's not easy, beat, you know, the same team 5 times. You know, it's hard. Like you see, like, you know, you're watching the our conference finals. Snow beat, you know, CSI 4 times.
Yeah.
But and then when they face up, you know, again on the finals, you know, CSI beat, you know, Snow. It's hard, you know, and but I'm very proud of my guys. You know, they fought. You know, they really, really want, you know, at least play, you know, in the semifinal games, semifinals against Snow, and we accomplished that.
Once you guys get past this game, you go toe-to-toe with Snow, and this is a really good basketball team. Again, they won the conference outright, but Coach, it's 39-31 at halftime. I mean, an 8-point deficit. You had to feel pretty good about where the team was sitting at that particular time, because you guys played really, there were a lot of turnovers, to say the least, in the first half of that basketball game. How did you feel going into halftime?
I feel really, really good, because, you know, like we knew that we're not playing, you know, at the, you know, the best at that we could have played. But like I said, we still down like 8 points. So I told the guys in the locker room, I said, guys, you know, Snow College, they're playing their game. You know, that's their game. So we playing like probably 40 or 50% that we should have played. So I, you know, in the locker room, I was very excited because, you know, I told them, I said, hey, guys, you know, we really, really have a chance. So we doing the, you know, their right things. So we have some, you know, turnovers. But, you know, like we were very, very excited. But on the second half, if you see the guys, they were so tired. They were so tired. Our main guys was very, very tired. And Nico Rojas, who played against, you know, CNCC, and then his foot was huge. Like, you know, was swallowed like I never seen like that. So, and then, like, you know, he could have played for us. You know, the way that he did, you know, a day before. But I'm glad, you know, like, you know, against, you know, Snow, some freshmen, you know, came in and step up and play really, really good for us. Like, you know, Chris and Milan, you know, they I think they're combined and they score 40 points, almost 40 points.
Yeah.
So that's really, really good for next year. That, you know, you see how much, you know, grow that, you know, these freshmen, you know, finish this season. But it was, you know, I was kind of like a, you know, disappointed, you know, on the second half. The other thing, you know, like some of our main players, you know, was, you know, they put themselves in foul trouble. That cost us, you know, the game. So, like, you know, Cam Bailey went on the bench. Roman McKnight, that was hard.
Yeah. Again, you pretty much had to play a perfect game with that depleted roster to beat Snow College. But still, you guys did get to the conference semifinals. Again, our guest right now was Coach Vando. As we wrap up the season, Coach, we'll talk about a couple of these sophomores. You mentioned Roman and Cam Bailey, two of the guys that kind of led this team the second half of the season. You guys did win 6 of 7 conference games. A lot of it had to do with both of their production. You're going to miss these two guys. They're going to be hard to replace.
Oh, yes. Especially, you know, like you said, you know, Cam was a leader in rebound in our league, and Roman McKnight was our leader in blocks. So, you know, but besides that, you know, Cam was like our I think he finished 5th in scoring, and Roman, I think, you know, he's in the top 10. So the two bigs that, you know, they contribute a lot, you know, especially on defensive end, you know, end of the floor. And we need replace, you know, these two guys because especially on defensive, you know, it's we gotta you know get better. So I think, you know, we already signed, you know, Carballa Gaye, so from Senegal, 6'11", he is really, really good on like a rim protector, like, you know, Roman. But, you know, we need to do a good job in recruiting right now and for sure, you know, replace these two guys because, you know, they help us a lot.
Played without Quinn Peters. He was the team's leading scorer. Quinn was obviously missed. I go back and I look at the Snow College game. If you have Quinn, there's a good chance you guys are winning at halftime. Really, Coach?
Yes. You know, Quinn is like you said, that's our best scorer. I think he finished 3rd, you know, in the league. He was like our floor general. He can really score, but he have the ability to involve other people on the court.
Yep.
So that's we miss him a lot. We, you know, like our offense, it wasn't the same when he played. Was kind of like it's not smooth when, you know, Quinn come, you know, and run our offense. You know, like we miss him a lot, and then like he and Zach Hunsaker, you know, they know each other really, really well. And when we beat Snow, he play a really good defense on Zach, so he wasn't there. You know, like kind of like, you know, Zach have, you know, his touch, and of course, you know, he scored good for Snow.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun year. I mean, when you look at these guys, now moving forward, you mentioned some of the returners. Milan was fantastic. actually contributed as a starter throughout the majority of the season before getting hurt. Andy Isopehi, when he is right, he's probably the team's best perimeter defender. Chris Tatoris, I'm really excited to see the growth of this kid. I love watching him play on the offensive side of the ball. But, Coach, at the beginning of the year, you had mentioned that you guys had eight different countries represented on this team. How big of a struggle was that, or was it at all?
Well, I knew that that when you bring international players, they're going to struggle for at least one semester. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always, you know, we had, you know, international players. But back in the days, like, we just allowed to have two. And we know, like, we had, you know, even Priscilla Borges, who played for our women team, was, you know, All-American, you know, she scored like 50 points, 47. But we knew, like, the first semester, she was horrible. Like, you know, that's a transition to FIBA basketball, to the American style. We knew that they're going to struggle a little bit. And some people more, some people less. But, you know, it's different by people by people.
Yeah.
But and then, like, we had, you know, some kids that they really, really struggle more than one semester. But like you said, I think by the end of the year, we had Chris playing really good, shooting threes for us. Milan played really good. Andy, Nico Rojas. You know, these kids, you know, by the end of the year, you know, they play really, really well. So and now, like, when we talk, you know, briefly after the game, so they know what they expect and they know what they got to do during the summer to get better and coming back and play their best, you know, basketball on the second semester. The other kids, you know, we need to evaluate, you know, what we're going to do and how they're going to, you know, if we're going to, you know, just evaluate the whole year and then, you know, make really, really important decisions.
Lastly, before I let you go, you don't have an assistant coach. What is the time frame on bringing in a new coach for you to help you throughout the offseason?
Well, I already talking to one assistant coach, and I hope that, you know, he can, you know, pick up his mind really, really quick, because, you know, like I said, I really need an assistant as soon as I can, because I'm recruiting right now between 8 or 10 players, and it's hard to do that, you know, by myself, and I needed somebody who can, you know, help me, you know, talk with these kids, you know, every day, and, you know, try to make them, you know, pick up, you know, their mind and sign with us. So I hope that, you know, as soon as I got the assistant coach, probably, I think he's still in season until next week. So probably next week, you know, we can talk and make, you know, and I hope that he make his decision by the next, 10, 15 days.
Yeah. Yeah, be a good time frame for you guys.
Yes, yes.
Coach, it's always so much fun to bring you in and talk basketball. I'm sad the season's over, but again, thank you. And I know we'll catch up with you during the offseason and get some updates on the team.
Well, thank you so much. You guys have been great all year long, and I really enjoyed coming over here and talk. And I you know, you guys are great. So as soon as I have, you know, some, you know, good news or news, I will let you know. And you guys, you know, people that, you know, listen to us, I just want to say at the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. You know, you guys have been great. I really appreciate, you know, all year long your support. And I'm very excited to put together a new team for next year. And I hope that we can go farther than, you know, the conference semifinals.
Yep, definitely. Coach, thank you again.
Thank you.
Again, that's Coach Vando with the USU Eastern Men's Basketball Squad. We're going to break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We'll talk some Major League Baseball with my good friend Steve Bortstein of Fox Sports right after this.
4, 3, 2, 1. Gentlemen, start your engines!
It's now time for a NASCAR Monster Energy Cup update here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. And the NASCAR season will move to Las Vegas this weekend for the third race of the year. And so far this year, both Brad Keselowski and Kurt Busch have grabbed one checkered flag, and they sit 1 and 2 in the standings with Kevin Harvick in third, Chase Elliott in fourth, and Joey Logano in fifth. Anticipation is building for the third race of the year as NASCAR goes to Vegas for the one and only time of the season. And for Kurt Busch, it's almost like a homecoming for him. He grew up in Las Vegas, and he talked about what the track means to him just days before the big race.
Vegas is different, and it's our hometown, and we grew up racing on that little 3/8-mile bull ring that's in the shadows of this mile-and-a-half track. And every time I come out here, it reminds me of all the people that helped Kyle and I, especially our dad, Tom. But the different late model teams, modified teams, the legend car races and all the competitors, the dwarf car days. It's just fun to come back and to reminisce.
Sitting in second place, Brad Keselowski talked about winning in Atlanta and how his team is set to compete in Las Vegas.
You know, we didn't click there the first few years. 2009, we ran okay. I wrecked. My fault. 2010, we ran terrible. 2011, we ran terrible. 2012, we ran okay, and we broke apart. I think we were running second. And finally, we got kind of all that stuff pushed out. And like you said, the last 3 or 4 years, 13, 14, 15, 16, have been great for us. So, yeah, it's hard to always put a finger on that, and that's why. And I know I wear you guys out about this. Past success or past failure is not always a guarantee for future success or failure. So hopefully that holds true when we go back to Daytona for the 500, because if you think my record at Vegas is bad, the 500 record, woo. But all you can really do is keep putting in the effort and not let it get you down, and go there with an attitude that you're going to go out there and make the most out of every opportunity to race. And we're going to go to Vegas and think of it as a track we can win at. We have won out that. And we'll continue to look at all the tracks that we've struggled at in the past the same way, and hope to find that success.
Now, Kevin Harvick had a dominating performance in Atlanta, and he had a heartbreaking finish, ending in ninth because of a late speeding penalty. Despite the mishap in Atlanta, Harvick enters the Las Vegas race as one of the early favorites, and he talked about how he can use that momentum to move into his first victory of 2017.
Well, I'd rather be the favorite than not thought about. You know, I think that says a lot about the way that our team has run the last 3 years. Rodney and everybody on the number four team have done a great job. Everybody at Stewart Haas Racing has done a great job. Just keeping the cars competitive. We've adapted to different rules packages, and that's really all you can ask for is to be around and put yourself in position.
Reigning champion Jimmy Johnson struggled a bit in Atlanta in the second race of the year. Gearing up for this weekend's race, he talked about the new rules package and how it could translate to a victory at one of his best tracks, Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The neat thing that I saw is that we could get a lot closer to the car in front of us. And I think as time goes on, we can help by getting these spoilers smaller in the back and help directing the air and get it on the ground sooner to help the guys behind you. We'll see how it goes. I think Vegas is going to be a tough challenge. The surface there is so good, it's still very new, that it doesn't wear the tires out as much as we would like. But I think we're off to a great start with this new rules package.
Drive Time Sports will be live at Las Vegas Motor Speedway this Friday beginning at 4 p.m. And we'll have NASCAR driver David Ragan set to join us amongst other guests as we talk about NASCAR and also the Pac-12 Championship Tournament, which is taking place in Vegas. The live show is scheduled to begin at 4 p.m. And that'll be a gear up for the big race on Sunday. Live coverage there will begin at 1:30 on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. Again, that's Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Racing at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Here comes a comeback.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, Tuesday edition of the show here on 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, joined right now over the telephone by a great friend of mine and a great friend of the show, Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. He is the host of First Sports and also the Fast Track on the weekend. Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time today. Thank you.
Ah, looking forward to chatting some baseball with you. Thank goodness we're just a few weeks away from things really kicking off. The boys of summer are back. It'll be a lot of fun this season, I think.
Yeah, we talk about the dog days of summer for Sports Talk Radio, but I think we get so caught up in March Madness and the NBA, and then there's a little bit of downtime with the All-Star break, and then you look at spring training. There's dog days in spring as well, and that's kind of what we've hit right now.
No question about it. Like, you know, we were talking about this off the air. I know that I'm supposed to be, you know, following East Tennessee State. I know I'm supposed to be following Siena. And I just can't. And I, for some reason, just can't get into conference championship weekend until it's the big conferences. And maybe it's just because I'm an elitist, so I don't look at the smaller conference schools, the so-called Cinderella teams. But, like, I'll start thinking about the conference tournaments when the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the SEC are playing, and the ACC tournaments are in full swing. But I just can't get into, you know, trying to figure out. I didn't know where Florida Gulf Coast Academy was. I still don't, and I still don't care, because I know they're not going to be a legitimate factor in the NCAA tournament. So I kind of wait for March Madness. When it's time to fill out a bracket, then I get involved.
Now, I agree with you, although, you know, we're still a month away from opening day, April 3rd, honestly, for Major League Baseball. Yet, Steve, I know you're just like me. You can't wait. I mean, it's right around the corner. Already, I'm starting to look at season previews and starting to see if anyone can unseat the Cubs and who's going to be the sleeper out of the American League. I mean, is it going to be the Indians? Are the Indians the new Royals? I mean, there's a lot of storylines floating around with Major League Baseball. But first off and foremost, breaking up spring training is the World Baseball Classic. And you and I were having a conversation about this off of the air. You also share a similar view with me on this particular situation. I don't care for the World Baseball Classic. Like, I know it's better than spring training, but guess what? That still doesn't get me enthused about it. Like, better than spring training does not stand out to me as far as a headline.
Well, and, you know, we talk about this a lot as it relates to when the Winter Olympics come along every 4 years, and it screws up, you know, the momentum of NHL teams, because you lose guys for 3 weeks. And, yeah, I know that the NHL takes a break during that time traditionally, but it does screw up the momentum. It does screw up what players are doing with their respective teams in the National Hockey League. And I feel like with the World Baseball Classic, I get it. It's a big deal. I get it. It's a promotional tool for Major League Baseball to spread themselves out internationally. But I think it does screw up the momentum that gets built into spring training. Spring training is a thing unto itself, and it's supposed to be an event unto itself. It's supposed to be the time when we're going to find out, like you mentioned, you know, are the Indians a sleeper team? Well, now we don't get to really find that out for 2 weeks, because we get to watch Chinese Taipei play Israel. We get to watch South Korea play Venezuela. And to me, that doesn't help the Major League prospects. That doesn't help me as a Major League Baseball fan get ready for the Major League Baseball season. I'm not interested in these games. They're on at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't see how that benefits, you know, a Major League Baseball prospect. I don't see how it benefits a manager. You're trying to figure out whether or not this Double A kid is worth bringing up on the opening day roster. I think it also leads to the potential of, you know, setting up pitchers to be in positions that we wouldn't be putting them in the spring training prospect games anyway. So because you want to bring a pitcher along slowly. So I think it does screw up the momentum of Major League Baseball. And I think I understand, again, it's a marketing tool, but I don't necessarily think in the long term it benefits a lot of Major League teams who are trying to figure out what their opening day roster is going to be. And I think that's more important than spreading the game out internationally for an audience that is going to watch these games anyway.
Well, let's talk about one individual player that is going to be on the American roster when we talk about the World Baseball Classic. It's Andrew McCutchen. And you talk about a couple of guys, you know, you talk about a killing momentum. And I think it's really simple. There's a list of four players in my mind whose numbers dropped significantly last season. Andrew McCutchen was rumored in a lot of trade rumors throughout the entire offseason. He stays put in Pittsburgh. This is really interesting. I don't know how the World Baseball Classic can actually help somebody like Andrew McCutchen. Maybe it can. I don't know. You're playing competitive baseball outside of spring training. Maybe it's good for his mental capacity where he's going into the season. I just don't know if I would necessarily want Andrew McCutchen playing in this if I'm the general manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, especially because it's, you know, this is a make or break year for him. He has to move over to right field now. His relationship with the fans has always been sort of iffy, I guess. You know, he's always been a popular player, but let's face it, this is an important year for him. He needs to show that he can handle the role in right field. He needs to be able to deal with the trade rumors right now. And yeah, he's going to play up this season, but I don't know if this World Baseball Classic helps him. I don't know if it hurts him as far as that's concerned. What if he gets, and again, we can ask the same question about insert name of player here, but if he gets hurt, then his trade value is shot, and then he ends up, you know, sitting for a month or 2 months or 3 months at a time, and I don't know if that necessarily helps him. It certainly doesn't benefit the Pirates in any way, shape, or form, who right now are playing very good baseball in spring training. They're sitting, I think, a half game out of first place in the National League right now as far as spring training is concerned. So you want him to be able to fit in with this team. They've got a lot of young players they're trying to build up. Andrew McCutchen is the veteran leader of that clubhouse. He needs to be there, and if he's not there, I don't know if this team benefits from having him play baseball 6,000 miles across the world.
Again, our guest right now is Steve Bortstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, the host of First Sports. We'll get more on his show in just a moment. So I mentioned a group of players that I'm really interested in watching this year. McCutchen, we just talked about. Bryce Harper is going to get a huge payday. That's coming up. All eyes are going to be on him throughout the entire season. Jason Hayward, there was a lot made out of him making the jump from St. Louis to Chicago. He was not good last year. And then, of course, there's that guy in Los Angeles that seems to always be in the headlines, in Yasiel Puig. So out of those four names, in your mind, who has the best season and who has to have the best season?
Well, clearly who has to have the best season is Yasiel Puig. I mean, if you want to talk about a make or break here, all eyes are going to be on Yasiel. You'd like to think maybe there was some humblingness, there was some humility that was instilled into him when he got shipped in and got sent down last year to the minor leagues. But then we didn't see much of that. You know, we didn't see a whole lot of productivity from him in the postseason. So maybe fresh start, another opportunity, new manager in play here. Maybe some instilled confidence, maybe the team showing that they're giving him another opportunity, but they didn't get rid of anyone in the offseason to make him think that spot was his alone. The Dodgers still keep Andre Ethier. They still keep their rotation of outfielders here. So, you know, so if he gets off to a slow start, we're right back to square one with him again, where he's going to get benched and he's going to pout and then he's going to not be productive. And then you have to go through this whole thing again here. So I need him to show something, not even necessarily an improved effort, but an improved awareness of just where he is right now, because this is the make or break year for him. And I have a bad feeling that if the Dodgers are going to do well, he has to do well. He knows that. And I don't know how well he handles that kind of pressure. And I don't know if even he cares at this point.
You know, I really think...
As far as who's going to have the best, Bryce Harper. I mean, let's face it. He knows all eyes are on him, and I'm sorry I paused there for a moment. Bryce Harper, to me, is the guy who, because of the contract and because of the enormity of the contract, you're right, all eyes are going to be on him. And I don't think he falters this year. I think this is going to be a year, another solid year for Bryce Harper. I think he's the guy who's going to have that another, you know, breakout season, another big season where we just are marveling at what he's been able to do so far. So I think for him, I think the sky's the limit for Bryce Harper this year.
Well, he's definitely going to be an interesting player to watch. I'll tell you, by the time 2019 hits, I don't know if this guy is wearing a Washington Nationals uniform.
Oh, I don't believe he will be. I don't believe he will be. I think because that team has shown sort of a willingness to spend in pieces. They don't spend big, and let's face it, we know that there are teams that are going to spend big. We know the Red Sox, we know the Yankees are going to spend big. I don't think he'll be in a Washington Nationals jersey so in 2019. So clearly 2017, 2018, those are going to be the years that if you're going to get this done in Washington, much the same thing like we talked about with Pittsburgh with Andrew McCutchen. You know, this is the year for them because their window is closing. If they're going to be a contender, it's Nationals and it's Pirates that they need these productive years from these guys right now, because these guys are not going to be around in those same uniforms in a couple of seasons.
Steve, I know we always get together before the start of the season and we preview both the American League and National League, so I'll save some of the chit-chat for that show or that segment, which will be coming up here in the next few weeks. But I got to get your take on the Cleveland Indians. Are they the new Kansas City Royals?
Ooh, wow. Yeah, I think so. I mean, everything seems to indicate right now that, you know, this is the year for them, and it's always the same thing. I think they're going to be tested. I think there's obviously a lot of high expectations right now. But again, you go back to the, you know, World Baseball Classic. They're missing a couple of key players right now, you know, because of the World Baseball Classic. I think it's going to be very interesting how, you know, how Francisco Lindor does and how Jose Ramirez does this year. Those guys are going to be key to them. Carlos Carrasco, $22 million. If he stays healthy, if Carlos Carrasco can stay healthy this season, that's going to be a huge plus for them. Plus, they can, you know, by only getting him at $22 million, which that seems absurd that we're saying only $22 million, but that's a huge boom for them. If they can get productivity from that guy right there, it's a huge deal for the Cleveland Indians going forward.
I know Cub fans don't like it when I say this, but I'm just being honest. If Salazar and Carrasco do not go down with late injuries last season, odds are we're talking about the Cleveland Indians as World Series champs. Let's just be honest.
Oh, yeah. No. And Cubs fans hate to hear that, but it's absolutely true. And I think it'll be interesting with the Cubs. Like, you know, they were the darling story last year. And they're always the darling story, the lovable has-beens, the lovable, oh, we can't get to the World Series. And now the target on their back is going to be so enormous this year. But you're right. The Cleveland Indians were literally an out away, you know, from being the World Series champions. But you know, you can go back to those injuries. You pointed them out a moment ago. You know, if those guys don't go down with injuries, we're talking about the Cleveland Indians, you know, as a likely repeat world champion because they're that team right now. But, you know, it's so funny how one little kink in the armor is what derails a team. And you go back to Carlos Carrasco. You can go back to a number of players, you know, on this team or that team. One little kink in the armor just throws everything off kilter. But I think the Cleveland Indians, you know, you need another big performance from Michael Brantley. You know, you need another big season from him. The shoulder surgery that he had, you know, hopefully the recovery from that's going to be okay. And if that happens, then there's a team to beat again in the American League.
Well, you speak about injuries, and I mean, this right here is a true testament. This is why it's going to be so difficult for the Cubs to repeat this year. The Cubs became the first team last season since the Reds in 2012 to have four pitchers make at least 30 starts in consecutive seasons. And really, when you look at this rotation front to back, John Lester's 33, 34 years old. Jake Arrieta is going to be 30, 31. I mean, these guys have made upwards of 80 starts over the last two seasons, Steve. It's tough for you to maintain this type of health, to stay healthy, to stay off of that DL for long periods of times. I mean, again, the Indians were bitten by the injury bug last season. It just doesn't seem logical to say the Cubs are going to be able to maintain it throughout their pitching rotation for another season. Just doesn't seem logical to me.
Yeah, and you mentioned the ages, and that's the key factor for these guys going forward here. You know, I mean, look, it was a magical postseason run, but everything works out, and you can't count on that. You just can't depend on that. So this is that time of year now where you need to have some arms that are ready to come up here. You have to play into consideration Aroldis Chapman going back to New York now. How big a factor is that going to be going forward? Because let's face it, the Cubs got extremely lucky the way things worked out in the World Series with Aroldis Chapman. He's not there anymore, so now you got to find that arm to replace that. You have to find individual pieces to fill in these roles, and it's great that, you know, Chapman was there for the time they needed him there, but, you know, Joe Maddon has been able to work out a lot of magic in the years past, and he certainly did it, you know, this past season, but do they have that magic again this year? And now with the added pressure of them being the team with the target on their back, how do they respond to that?
Yeah, we just ad-libbed baseball for 15 minutes here on the show. Great stuff as always, Steve. Before I let you go, I want you to go ahead and let the listeners know more about your work.
Oh, wow. First Sports every weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. And we were talking about the dog days of summer here and dog days of spring. We're fighting through them ourselves right now, but a lot of college basketball on the agenda, a lot of NFL talk with obviously now the free agent market opening up this week. So First Sports in the morning, it airs this 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. You can catch it on iHeartRadio through our app at foxsports1340.com. And then, of course, like you, we also, I work 7 days days a week. Also doing a horse racing show on Saturday and Sunday mornings called The Fast Track. For those of you who like the horses and like to bet the ponies, you can check out The Fast Track also on the iHeartRadio app. 10 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Mountain Time. You can catch it also on the iHeartRadio app at our website, again, foxsports1340.com. And make sure to follow me on Twitter at Fox1340AM.
Steve, always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time again today. We'll do it again soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you, sir.
We got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, this is Eric Amarola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
We're back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. You know, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned the one and only NASCAR race at Las Vegas Motor Speedway for the season. It looks like that's about to change. Rumor has it that starting in 2018, NASCAR will add a second race to Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and it looks like that could come at the expense of New Hampshire. That's some of the rumors floating around social media right now. I'll tell you, Mike Bagley probably has a little bit more info on that. NASCAR Live is coming up next here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Always fun to join you on the afternoon drive. I want to thank Coach Vando and, of course, Steve Bortstein for taking out the time to join me. Tomorrow, we'll talk more NBA basketball, and we'll continue to add some NFL talk little by little. Free agent frenzy is going to hit heavily on Thursday. Plus, we have some college basketball we got to talk about. The Utah Utes, they need to win the Pac-12 tournament if they're going to go dancing. So we'll talk more college hoops here in the coming days as well. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL. Be safe. I am out.